Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Fortunately, back when I had fast cars, which I still have one, I keep it a secret there,
It's one of them songs you pop in and run through the gears, and when you get out in the fifth gear or sixth gear, whatever you got these days, just keep that pedal on the ground. And if you're in a state that allows radar detectors, which I used to be, make sure that thing is on, because if there's a cop around, they will pull you over. Now, here in Virginia, radar detectors are illegal, which tried to rescind that, but somehow it didn't make it through the assembly. But what are you going to do? Anyway, I don't think I need to be getting speeding tickets. When you're young and dumb and full of fun, you know, giving speeding tickets is not a big deal. It is a big deal, but, you know, if you got a job and you live at home or had a place to live that you knew you weren't going to get kicked out, like back when I was in the service, you had a barracks, so I always had a place to go. And that speeding ticket, no big deal. Lose your driver's license, no big deal. You get it back in a month, and, well, as long as you don't be too recidivist. Didn't want to lose it for a year. It kind of sucks, but at least you had transportation from your barracks to your place of work. Sometimes you could walk there. Sometimes they had, you know, shuttle buses, but like I said, no big deal. And the roads back then were, there wasn't as much area as built up as it is today. I mean, fortunately, in the point of the area of southwestern Virginia, where right before you get to that pointy end, that little neck, you got a pretty good stretch from West Virginia to North Carolina. And it's like, where I'm at, I'm like in the middle from West Virginia and where I work, the next town down, well, the next major town down of Whitville. So, that being the case, I have no traffic lights from my house to my job. And 20 miles, they call it interstate. I used to call it the highway. Of interstate with 70 mile an hour speed limit. Now, they used to pinch it down to 55 because we have tunnels. Through the tunnel. But it says maintain speed. But you always get somebody from another state, Ohio, who likes to grind the damn near a halt. And it's like, yo, come on, man. Don't block the tunnel. You get a wreck in that tunnel, forget it. You're backed up for days. Unless you're either close to the wreck or at a place where you can bail. And there ain't too many places to bail on I-77. At least not in my area. But cheat a little bit with the tunes, you know, jack the volume up and put the hammer down a bit. Especially if you know where the cops sit. That's back in the day before radar detectors. They had these things called citizens band radios that truckers, I think, still use today. They used to get a report. Find out where the cops are sitting. Mile marker this, mile marker that, on the side with somebody. You had better detail than a radar detector where you're cruising along and all of a sudden your thing goes beep, and then you know you're in the radar range. So, A, he's either zapping somebody else or zapped you. Usually if it's a beep and then a lull, and then a beep. It's he's clocking his traffic as it goes by. So it's usually a hint Now, when you get up on them and you're back down to acceptable speed, I'm not talking speed limit. There's speed limit, then there's acceptable speed. Like I set my cruise to 74. I think they say I heard you can get up to 80, but I ain't pushing it. I think I've been close to 80 a couple times where they just sat there, so that could be. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, Fuel is one of those songs. Dragula, Rob Zombie. I always like Frankenstein by Edgar Winter. It had nothing to do with cars, but it was just one of those songs. Highway Star, Deep Purple. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. We had some racing this weekend out in Fontana, California. And they had an Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. The Xfinity Series was supposed to go on Saturday, but a lot of the stuff that was supposed to run got postponed for, I don't know, we hear rain, you hear snow. It was around, it says it's Saturday, February 23rd, but I know there was a lot of snow in that area. Like, they don't get snow in California. It's like kind of weird, the weather there. The winter there is more like the winter in the Northeast than the winter in my area now. Well, I'm not really the Northeast, but it's more Southern California. Well, maybe not Southern. Yeah, we'll call it Southern California-esque. I feel bad for those in the Midwest. They got they get stocked with snow. Well, you know, lake effects, the polar vortex comes down, the jet stream. I mean, that's where, if the jet stream comes down, I don't know, all you listeners that may be weather geeks, they usually bring the cold air from Canada, and that's what causes that. If it meets moisture from the south, wet turns to white, and you have no covered area. Anyway, they did get the Xfinity race in. That's the second race of the season, the Production Alliance Group 300. 300 miles long, 150 laps scheduled. I mean, that's, in case there's overtime, they always tack on those extras, but it actually was scheduled. It went the scheduled distance, which is always a good thing. Fontana, the Auto Club Speedway. We should just call it the Fontana. But apparently, this was the last NASCAR races on the track in its present form. Supposed to be reconfigured as a short track. They were supposed to start that after this weekend, and apparently it's going to take longer than a year because they wanted to have it, I guess, for next season's race. They sold off a good chunk of the land and kept what I guess they figured they were going to need. So they can get that going. But the problem is they're in California. Back when this track was built, situations were different in California. Now there's so much regulation and restriction. I'm surprised, you know, NASCAR is even thinking of redoing that because that track used to be owned by Roger Penske. Penske sold all his tracks to International Speedway Corp, or which is basically the track branch of NASCAR. And there's Speedway Motorsports, which is, you know, Bristol, Charlotte, and those in Vegas, which NASCAR will be going to this week. And a couple of independents, there's Dover Motorsports, which owns Dover, Nashville, I think they unloaded just about everything except for Nashville because they resurrected that. It never had a cup race, and I think Dover didn't want to give up any of their races there at the Monster Mile because you figure it's a different style track. It's a mile oval, banked on the straightaways, banked in the curves, concrete, and Nashville is concrete. They always ran ARCA trucks, Xfinity, and IndyCar, but never Cup. But so I guess after having a positive showing for the NASCAR Awards Banquet Week, Awards Week, we'll call it Awards Week. I've been part of that when it was in New York. They had such a fan turnout that, hey, maybe they ought to bring a race to Nashville. And lo and behold, the year after, after they cleaned up all the stuff they let overgrow, and NASCAR's back in it's Music City. That's Music City, so. A lot of musicians down there. I mean, we're not just talking country, because you think Nashville, you think country, but there's country music. Rock musicians live there. Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. Jack White is from the White Stripes. Everybody remembers Seven Nation Army. But puts out he's pretty different, kind of like I forget who it is. Weezer. They always put out, they come out, one song sounds different from the other. Shows some talent. You can actually, you're not, you know, you can do everything. Like you had rockers go country, country go rock, Kid Rock go country. You know, who'd have thought? And he went back to Kid Rock that we all know and love with We the People, which is a pretty good song at a pretty good time. Aaron Lewis of Staind. Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish. And they got, you know, there's a lot of variation. Anyway, back to the race results. I've been rambling for a little bit here. Driver of the number 20, Vons Albertsons Toyota, did not win any stages, but led six times for 49 laps. Jan Hunter Nemechek. I guess that locks him into the Xfinity playoffs, because I know in the Cup, you win, you're in. And 16 make it. So we get 17 winners. I wonder how that works. I guess then that's a points play. Sam Mayer in the one took second place. Justin Allgaier was third. Chandler Smith was fourth. Josh Berry was fifth. Austin Hill, who won Daytona, was sixth. Riley Herb seventh. Austin Dillon making an Xfinity race. It was eighth. Brett Moffitt ninth. And Parker Kligerman rounds out your top 10. I had him on here a while ago. Any stage winners? Stage winner, won stage one and two, but only wound up 27th, was Cole Custer. Led twice for 46 of the 150 laps, so he must have had some issues to wind up one lap down. Bad pit call. Anyway, David Starr, he's back still running, huh? 35th. Race took 2 hours, 35 minutes, 53 seconds. Average speed, 115. .471 miles an hour. Margin of victory, .761. So that's 7 lengths. which means the first thing that didn't happen that happened last week at Daytona for every race, every event, did not finish under caution. It's Nemechek's third victory in the Xfinity Series, so he's working his way up. Daddy Joe is probably proud of his boy. He's doing pretty good. 10 cautions for 41 laps. We had a competition caution and two stage cautions. So they were the only three that were not incident related. Competition, if you have a green track where all your practice and the tire rubber wore off and it's fresh, they usually have what they call a competition caution. After so many laps, you can check your tire wear and obviously top off with fuel. So there were 23 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. Well, here it says 22, and this is the cumulative report. Still the same as cautions for 10 for 41 and the same amount of drivers, just one less lead change. Nice. John Hunter, obviously the 20, Joe Gibbs Racing. It's his first victory and second top five in 2023. Well, he's in a good car, so you know it's should be a good year for John Hunter. And it's his first victory and first top 10 at Auto Club Speedway. And Chandler Smith in fourth was the highest finishing rookie. Let's check the standings with the points. After two races, it's Austin Hill. One win, one stage win, 6 points. Playoff points, 98 overall. John Hunter with his win, 91 points back, 7 race wins, no stage wins, 5 playoff points. Justin Allgaier third, Chandler Smith in fourth, Riley Herbst in fifth, Cole Custer sixth, Sam Mayer, 7th, 8th, Joe Graff Jr., 9th, Josh Berry, Ryan Sieg, 11th, Parker Kligerman, and rounding up the 12th spot, which is the final playoff spot, it's Parker Retzlaff, who has a 2-point lead over Jeb Burton. So, and actually, the next three down could give him a run, maybe in four. You got Burton, 48 back, which is 2 behind Retzlaff. You have Brett Moffitt, who's 2 behind Burton, and 4 back of Retzlaff. And then you have Sammy Smith, 6 back of Retzlaff, and 2 back of Moffitt. And Josh Williams in 16th. He's got 43 points, so he's 1 point behind Sammy Smith in 15th. So those four guys with 40 or more points have a shot to make the playoffs, because 10, 11, and 12 is only a 3-point gap there. So like I said, the season's still young, and there's plenty of time. Let's see what our winner had to say. There's John Hunter Nemechek. Yeah, they did run it on Sunday.
All right. We are now joined by our NASCAR Xfinity Series race winner here at Auto Club Speedway, John Hunter Nemechek, driver of the number 20 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. An interesting fact to start off our post-race press conference tonight, Joe Nemechek won the first pole in the history of this track. Now his son wins the final race. John Hunter, if you would, just start us off by, you know, just giving us your reaction to that.
I mean, it's pretty cool to be second generation and to have accomplished something the same as my dad here. I guess I won the race and he got the pole. So hence his nickname, Front Row Joe. But that's really, really cool. I'm kind of speechless about that. I feel like being able to win and do things that he's done in his career and just try and continue to be better every single day. He's been such a help to my career over the past, I guess, 20 years, ever since I started racing. So just can't thank him enough for giving me, racing in my blood and pushing me to be better.
Well, congratulations. We'll go ahead and open it up to questions. We'll start with Justin and then come up to John.
Justin Schuler, kicking the tires. Since this race got postponed, you are now officially the last winner at Auto Club on at least the 2 mile if the construction does go forward. But what does that feel like, knowing that you're going to be the last stock car winner on this 2 mile track?
It's really cool to have accomplished that and be the final winner here. It means a lot. Maybe when they tear this place up, they'll send me a piece of asphalt just as a memory, but it's definitely cool to be a part of the history here at Auto Club Speedway with the 2 mile configuration. I mean, this place is so cool. Tire fall off, running multiple grooves, the seams are treacherous. It's just an amazing racetrack, and I hate to see it go.
All right, we'll go to John.
John NewbieHeavy.com. I mean, can you take me through the emotions of those final laps, you know, wondering if there's going to be a caution, dealing with an overheating engine? I mean, how did you compartmentalize all of that?
Just keep doing what I was doing, hitting my marks. I've been in situations before where it's come down to 20 feet before the start-finish line and a caution comes out. But the biggest thing for us was the overheating issue there. We had trash on the grill for quite a while there, so hopefully it didn't hurt the motor too bad going on to Vegas next week and having to run it there. Same car there, but car's in one piece and it's fast. So looking forward to going to next week as well.
All right, let's go to Bob and then back to Luis.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. I have two. The first is, was there any part of you that was happy that the race was pushed to today so that you would have a chance to be kind of the last winner on this track?
To be honest, I didn't really think about that. I was more focused on just trying to win the race this weekend. All the preparation that went in, working with Ben. So Ben, every time he started second here, just a quick fact for you, every time he's finished second here, he hasn't finished worse than second. And I can't say what I want to say, but I told him when we came here that I was hoping that I was the one that didn't mess up his track record here in the Xfinity Series. So it's awesome that it got pushed, right? And I am the final winner. But I don't feel like that crossed my mind when they did say that they were pushing it.
And then looking ahead to next week, you've got both the trucks and the Xfinity car. You're going to be racing against the guy who was sitting in that chair about 2 hours ago. Is that going to be fun for you to go up against him considering he left the Toyota stable?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, it's so cool. The path that I took, I feel like the last couple of years, right? Going to KBM and having Kyle as a mentor has helped me a lot. What's cool is he drove for my dad when he was around my age as well back in the day. So it's kind of crazy how it's come full circle. But I feel like with myself staying in the Toyota camp and him swapping, that I don't know if there's a rivalry there or not, right? But I definitely want to go and try and win both races next week. And I know that he's going to be in both as well. So he's beat me and I've beat him before. I think it comes down to team, truck, and execution. But he's on his A game right now, and I feel like I am too. He has a little bit of experience on me, just a few years in this sport and a few more laps than me. But I definitely look forward to racing him and all the other competitors.
Okay, let's go to Luis.
Luis Torres, the podium finish.
congratulations. Apologies if it's already been asked already, but how instrumental is it to go get this win right out of the gate and rack up those valuable points, knowing that the journey that it took you to get back here?
I mean, it's huge. I'm just grateful for the opportunity that I have. I feel like it's probably the best opportunity in my career. I have a lot of people rooting for me, I feel like, and pushing me to be better every single day, whether I'm at home with Taylor and Aspen or at the shop with my crew guys at TPC training. There's a lot of individuals that I won't name all of them, but they push me to be better, and I'm glad to be under the Toyota banner, TRD banner, Joe Gibbs Racing banner, and I'm looking forward to the future as well. To have two races and finish second and then first, it gets our season kicked off right, and hopefully we can continue this momentum into the next few weeks and just go execute. I feel like we have one of the best teams in the garage, if not the best team, so we just we can't peak too early.
There you have it. John Hunter Nemechek, the last winner. So I guess they ran this one after the cup race, which I figured they ran it first, but I guess I was wrong, and therefore did not watch it. Check out on rumble.com, They Still Live podcast. Join me and Jeff as we talk about some stuff and have some fun with it. See, what do we got this week to talk about? Somebody can't go upstairs. Still has a mumble mouth. That's good old Brandon. Anyway, let's go to the main event of the weekend, which was kind of the opening act. Let's see who was on the pole. Christopher Bell took the pole, led, and won. No, wait. Did not, but had got involved in an accident on lap 88, and it kind of ruined his day. If it says accident, it means you're not running. If you're a few laps down, you're still running. 88 laps out of 200, early day for Christopher Bell. But anyway, not to be outdone. The last winner in the Cup Series at Auto Club Speedway is also the first winner there. Only in a different car with a different team, which is kind of weird. That I was watching some of the back and forth going on with that person and how his sponsors left, and once they left, he was let go, and somebody talked him into going to where he's at now, and it seemed to work out, and now it's more like an in-your-face moment. But somebody who started driving Chevys, went to Toyota, now back with a Chevy, none other than Kyle Busch. He's the one who, apparently his sponsors left with Gibbs, so therefore, I guess they couldn't pay him, and he lost his ride there, which just kind of sucks. I don't know if his contract was up and they let him go or they just let him go, but somebody gave him a call, and he wound up going to talk to Richard Childress. So, back to Chevy, and after a nasty wreck, he was running good last week at Daytona, wounds up starting 21st here, leads three times for 27 laps, and takes home the checkered flag. Chase Elliott was second, the guy who won both stages and led five times for 91 laps, pretty much the dominant car. I thought might have a shot to win this, but a bad pit stop cost him on that last, I think it was that last stage. He wound up in the back in the pack and coming all the way back to third is Ross Chastain. Daniel Suarez was fourth. His teammate, Trackhouse, that's their team. Kevin Harvick was fifth. Denny Hamlin, sixth. Brad Keselowski, seventh. Alex Bowman, eighth. Austin Dillon, ninth. And Joey Logano rounds out your top ten. So a big difference from last week to this week. So we got Kyle Busch winning the last cup race at Auto Club Speedway. So their names go in the books, and whether they get the track construction approved, like you would think they'd have it approved. I don't know. It's California. I'll leave it there. So the race took 3 hours, 8 minutes, 5 seconds, speed 127.6 miles an hour. Margin of victory, only a little bit of a stretch, you would have got it. 2.998 seconds, almost a 3 second gap between first and second. That's a big gap. You know, he was hoping there was no caution at the end of that one. And lo and behold, there wasn't. It was his 61st victory in the Cup Series. So he's racking them up there, too. I mean, he's not number one all time, but he's getting in the top. I'd say he's in the top 10. I don't know. I'd have to go to the record book and dig all that out. Where's my producer on that? Cautions for 38 laps. It includes a competition and two-stage ending. So five of those were for incidents. 28 lead changes amongst 13 drivers. So it's Kyle's first victory and first top 10 finish in 2023. It's not like it's a big deal. There's only two races in. It's his fifth victory and 17th top 10 in 24 races at Auto Club Speedway. And the highest finishing rookie was Ty Gibbs, who is Guy Gibbs' son, Joe Gibbs' grandson. And with the win, Kyle Busch has now won a cup race, get this, in 19 consecutive seasons, breaking a tie with Richard Petty. For first all time. Petty went 18 consecutive from 1960 to 1977. So with his way, Kyle, Kurt Busch now have a combined 95 Cup Series wins, making them the winningest brothers in NASCAR history, breaking a tie with Bobby and Donnie Allison. Wow. And to think, Kyle's still racing. Kurt, I don't know, that last wreck with the concussion last season, I guess he's not been the same since, I hate to say, but it might be like the Ernie Irvin effect. I had Ernie on the show years ago, and he had a wild, crazy wreck in Michigan that kind of ended his driving career. But he's living on through his son, Jared, who's been on the show. I had them both on the show, father and son. See, that makes it fun, you know, following daddy's footsteps. Okay. Oops, wrong points page. Clickety-click. Here's the point standings. Top 16 make the playoffs. Everybody after that. Just racing for the win. They're leading. Leading the points is Ross Chastain, 92 points overall. Three stage wins. Joey Logano is second. No race wins. 1 point behind Chastain. And no stage wins. Alex Bowman third. 80 points, 12 back. No stage wins. No playoff points. We got Harvick in fourth. Daniel Suarez in fifth. Chris Buescher in sixth. Ricky Stenhouse in seventh, who won the Daytona 500. So he has a race win and five playoff points. In eighth, driver of the number eight, Kyle Busch. He's got 67 points. He's 25 back of the leader. One race win, no stage win, so playoff points-wise, he's tied with Ricky Stenhouse at five. That all comes to play in the playoffs. It's weird how they work it, but that's it. And ninth spot, Denny Hamlin, 10th, Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex, 11th, Ryan Blaney, 12th, Corey LaJoie, 13th. Chase Elliott, 14th. Christopher Bell, 15th. And Michael McDowell is on the playoff cutoff. He's got people behind him that are only a couple points back, so that's going to be iffy. Anyway, let's hear what our winner has to say, because I'm sure he has a bit to say after switching teams.
So we are now joined by winner of today's Pala Casino 400, driver of the number eight, Richard Childress Racing Chevrolet, Kyle Busch. If you have a question for Kyle, please raise your hand and we'll get a wireless microphone over to you. We're going to go ahead and start up here with Bob Pockris, and then we'll make our way back there.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. I know you know you're good, but did you think you would challenge for wins, Clash, Daytona 500, and here right off the bat with RCR?
You know, truthfully, no. I felt like there was going to be a little bit of a learning experience, a little bit of a growth pattern, but also on the flip side of that, I always just kind of looked back and watched some of their results and success that they had last year with Austin. He ran second here last year, and Reddick was super, super fast. And so they were fast at the Clash before they broke, the eight car was, you know. So it's just been really, really cool. And it's been a great piece of we're making history, right? But a great piece of opportunity to go out there and continue to win races at a new team with RCR. So I can't, you know, Austin giving me a call first and foremost, but then, you know, Richard and Judy giving me this opportunity to go out here and race for wins. And thankful to be a part of our Lucas Oil Chevrolet team today.
All right, we're going to go to Jeff and then Lee.
I mean, it's been a while since you, you know, just controlled a race and did what you used to do and won it like that. Mm-hmm. Is your mentality any different when you're in that situation now because so many things have happened to you? Are you like, something's gonna go wrong? Or are you just like, nope, it's the old me. Like, I know what I'm doing. What were you thinking inside the car?
Yeah, all of those things. You know, there were a couple moments where I got loose. I about bust my ass on that last run. So I was like, please don't. But, you know, fortunately was able to hang on well enough and tried to find another groove that my car would work better in. So it was just always a constant evolution of where you needed to be and you know, just trying to work. And that's what I enjoy the most about this racetrack. I mean, it's a 2 mile racetrack. It's big, it gets spread out, but man, you can move around and you can spread out and you can make your own destiny by trying to find something else that'll help work for your race car. So, you know, it's a sad day for me to see this racetrack be in its last race being a 2 mile configuration. So, you know, glad I was able to win the final one here. Yeah, man, Rowdy Nation's growing, bro. Loud and proud. Watch out. We're going to take over. So it's just fun to see them and to give them something to cheer for again and to have an opportunity like today to win a race this early in the season, get everybody juked up and excited, and also continue to hopefully, you know, have more races like this where we're able to win, get some of those playoff points, kind of stockpiling a little bit so we can have a good time at the end of the year.
Lee? Congratulations, Kyle. Kurt was one of the first people to come to Victory Lane. You guys hit a milestone today for winning brothers in the series. Can you talk a little bit about that? And probably the only thing that would have made it cooler would have been to have him in the field.
Yeah, no, he's left all the heavy lifting for me to do for the rest of my time here. You know, he took a break, but no, it would have certainly meant a lot to have him in the field. But just him being here and being around and still. You know, his role over at 2311 is really special. So I know he's got a lot of friends over there, a lot of great guys over there that really pull for him. And you know, so it's neat to have him be there. He was emotional, you know, he's getting soft in his old age. So it was just cool to see him come up to the car and being a part of our celebration there for a quick moment. But, you know, it's fun to set records always. And when you're able to do it as a brother tandem, you know, there's nothing more special for our parents, I'm sure.
You also had straight wins. Did you beat a record on straight wins, consecutive wins, was it?
Years, yeah, 19 straight years, yeah. So now Richard Petty had that record. He and I were tied at 18. So, you know, there's not very many records that you can beat that Richard Petty has, and certainly that was one that I set early on long, long time ago that I always wanted to achieve and get. And so I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to set that bar and would love to continue to keep raising it.
We're going to go right back there.
Alan Buster, Yahoo Eagle Broadcasting, F25. This race had spin outs and crashes, but it also had intervals of just uninterrupted racing. During those stretches, was it like an eerie feeling thinking that maybe another restart was going to happen, or are you just locked in the zone?
Yeah, I mean, there was a moment there when I ran Ross Chastain down the first time and I got to his bumper and I was trying to make a move to get by him and I just couldn't figure it out. And then my car just flipped the switch and went super loose. So I had about crashed a few times and I was just hanging on at the end of that stage. And then we were able to make some more adjustments to it to get it better on the long run. And then from there, we battled again with Ross all the way up until we pitted there for the final time. And our guys executed a really good job on pit road and got me out front. And then I was able to drive away. And, yeah, when you get times like that, that's, you know, that's always, I don't know, it's maybe not fun for the fans to watch when it gets a little bit spread out, but it's just fun for the drivers to really zone in and get to work and find different grooves and different things that'll work for you and work for your car in order to make the most out of it.
Right up here.
Kyle, in that Richard Hayes, Sports Life magazine, in that third segment, there seemed to be a gap, bigger, smaller, back and forth. Were you just biding your time? Or we just the car just come in finally and be able to get past?
Yeah, no, I was trying to work on the one, and the aero games are just terrible with this car. He was literally mirror driving, just watching wherever the heck I was going and trying to put himself in front of me because it would just make me super tight and, you know, about a few times I almost hit the wall. And so you just keep trying to find different grooves that you know, you can still make good time in. And you're in clean air, and he's not air blocking. But that this racetrack gives you that opportunity to be able to do that. So it being a half-mile racetrack, a tight racetrack in its new configuration, you're not going to have those chances. So, you know, it's going to be a completely different race and a whole new thing. But glad we were able to get it done today and find our way around them and then, again, have a good execution on that final stop.
We're going to go right up there.
Hi, Jason Residlo from AmericaJR.com. I was wondering, this is the last cup race here. Can you talk about any memories you've had over the years here?
A lot. I would say that the first one that comes to mind is when I was 16 years old. I came here to run in the Craftsman Truck Series, and I practiced. I was fastest in practice and had a really fast truck, and then somebody decided I wasn't old enough to race, and so they kicked me out. And that was my welcome to NASCAR moment and welcome to California Speedway moment. But was able to come back, and when I came back here for the next time that I came back was No, I ran Xfinity here. My first Cup Series start here, I was able to qualify on the pole, and then we finished 25th. And then my second time here, I qualified 25th, and I finished first. So that one was much better. But first win, my first Cup Series win was here. We've had 5 wins, including today. So just great time at California Speedway. There's a few in there that I missed out on, but I think it was also here where I won. I was the first person to win 2 NASCAR races in the same day, Xfinity race and a Truck Series race, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, this place has had a lot of great memories.
All right, we're going to go right back there and then back up to Jeff and Bob.
Alan Bailey with ARN. Kyle, with getting a victory this early on, does this mean that you guys get to experiment a little bit, or do you guys just get to fine-tune? Because you've had 3 extraordinarily good runs, 3 races, and now you finally have the result to show it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know. That's to be determined. I would say that we need to continue on and pour the gas on the fire right now and go out there and continue to get wins and have fast cars and run up front. So, you know, we want to get those playoff points. Playoff points is a big deal for at the end of the year. I've won a couple championships having a lot of playoff points. And the couple of years that I haven't had a lot of playoff points, I haven't made it very far. So, you know, I know what's important, so hopefully we can get some more of that. It does open up opportunity, you know, for staying out in particular races or maybe pitting and getting tires in particular races because you do have that win, so you can take more chance, yeah. But I don't know that you'd mess with setup stuff really much.
Jeff?
How much of your swagger do you think you have back, and like what percent do you have to go to be feeling like your old self, where you're just every week in the mix and knowing that, you know, you can do it?
Well, this is the first race nobody ran into me. So I held my own destiny today, and I felt like I did a good job of that. But every other race this year I've been run over. So, you know, I'm into getting my results haven't been indicative to how we've been running. But, yeah, I mean, to answer the swagger part, just – it's great to have the group that I do, and I'm excited about. I was excited about working with them, and when it all came through, and I had I got hired. But it's been fun to work with them and behind the scenes, and just last night we just went and had a go-kart night and had some fun. So, you know, just kind of laying low and letting loose a little bit and having fun right now.
Bob.
Bob Pongress, Fox Sports. I know last year you said you didn't really know why you struggled, quote-unquote struggled, as you did.
Oh, we did.
Okay, so do you have any idea why, like, how do you go from where you were last year to where you are now?
I'm not sure. You know, you look at how the 8 car ran here last year, and they were fast. You know, they had a really, really fast car, and I did the sim session stuff with them and worked on what they had here last year, and then kind of changed a couple things to what I felt like I could do or race better, be more comfortable racing for myself. And, you know, today it was just a completely different feeling of a race car than what I had here last year, you know. So I think that's just different philosophies of how you go about it and what this group here is doing to build grip versus my old group.
Are we going to go right back there?
And there you have Kyle Busch on his first win of the season. 5th win at Auto Club Speedway in Fontana, the last win that under the 2-mile configuration, they're going to get it down to a half mile. You would think short track, yeah, you think half mile, but you got Martinsville, you have Bristol. I wonder what kind of configuration they're going to have with that. I mean, Richmond was a half mile, but they kind of tweaked it to 3/4. North Wilkes coming back for the All-Star race, which will be another half-mile track. So it should be interesting. Anyway, hope you enjoyed this episode of Garage Talk Live. This weekend, we got 3 trucks. Xfinity and the Cup Series. And remember the old days when it used to be the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Then they went to Camping World. But what did they do? I guess the Camping World contract ended. and the Craftsman decided to come back. I know Camping World has taken over for Coca-Cola in the NHRA top tier series. So maybe they didn't want to spread too thin there. Xfinity, okay, Truck Series, Victoria's Voice Foundation 200 at Las Vegas. Friday, March 3rd. That's this coming weekend. Man, February's over today. Last day, not a leap year. Wow. On Fox Sports 1, Saturday, 4:30 Eastern time, so you figure it's 1:30 there. The Xfinity Allsco Uniforms 300, also on Fox Sports 1. And then Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern, the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube. Interesting. I think Jiffy Lube uses Pennzoil products anyway, so that'll be on regular Fox. I noticed that. I don't know if you all noticed that. The Cup races, for the most part, are on regular Fox. The support races are on Fox Sports 1. And on NBC, they're all pretty much on, well, I was going to say NBCSN, but it's, I think they're doing USA now. I'll have to look and see where the schedules are. But for now, I'm not too worried about it. When the season changes and after mid-season, which used to be Daytona at the Firecracker or Coke Zero, whatever, 400, they would switch networks. All right, NHRA back in action, not this weekend, but the following weekend, the Gainesville National, Gator Nationals in Gainesville, Florida. So look for some fun stuff there. Josh Hart will host Gator Nats Fan Fest autograph session. Josh was on last season with us. I saw where Camry Caruso is doing some different things. So that's our show for today. Hope you all had a good time. Let's see, TV schedule for the Gator Nats. Let me just see real quick. Check local listings. March 11th, Sunday, FS1. Qualifying. Finals, March 12th, noon to 3 on Fox. Is it going to be on regular Fox? Wow. And then the Cup race will be on, I guess, after that at 3:30. So they're going to kick out of one and go to the other. At least with NHRA. They only run, well, quarter mile to half mile. Schedules, they're running everybody. Competing categories. Oh, yeah, first one of the season. Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock Motorcycle, Pro Mod, Factory Stock Showdown, Top Alcohol Dragster. Super Gas, Super Comp, Stock, Super Stock, Competition. And Top Alcohol, Funny Car, Super Street, Top Sportsman. Yeah, every category in the NHRA will be running. All right, that's our show for today. I'm Vinny B., your host. Good day and good racing. We'll see you all next week.